Sunday the 19th of May 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Healthy Church. Sermon series, Outward Looking. Bible reading, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, on the Pew Bibles, page 771. The apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirit, and all of them were healed. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Hayes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that you would speak into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're continuing with our sermon series, Healthy Church, and today we're looking at outward-looking focus. So the question I want to ask us to consider this morning is, what attracts people to St. Chad's? Is it the building, the activities, the people, the wonderful and dynamic preaching, or a need to discover more about Jesus and the difference he makes? And I would like to think that it is the latter, because I firmly believe that many in our society, whether they realise it or not, have a sense of searching for something. And that's where we come in as God's church, his people, to reach out to the lost, sick and suffering. And how we do that matters. Throughout history, God has been calling his people to further his kingdom, and he is still calling us to do his work on earth until Jesus returns. And part of that work is to grow his church. And we can only do that if we are willing to share in the ministry and work of God's church, which God has entrusted to you and me. It's not a one person's job, because we are all in it together, whether we accept that or not. Making new disciples is what we are called to do. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah heard God call, "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" And Isaiah responded immediately, "I'll go. Send me." This is an outward vision, a missionary vision that began by looking upward and seeing that God is worthy of our worship. It was made possible by looking inward and seeing that God forgives and expects us to follow his calling, as did Isaiah and many others, as we look outward to the mission field where God is sending us. As Christians, we are all called to be disciples. We haven't been called to sit in the comfort of a church. Yes, it's important that we gather together in fellowship and worship to the Lord, but it's equally important that we do not sit back and expect others to do the work. Because if we want to see revival, then there is much to do, and we all have a part to play. This means we have a responsibility to those who do not know Jesus. So how can we implement that calling on our lives? I believe we are blessed in this church because we already have folk who are committed to sharing the good news of the gospel, especially at Christmas and Easter, when we go out onto the streets to bless people, or when a group of you went out onto the high road to litter pick and remove unwanted advertising, or perhaps when we go over and do tea in the park. But there is still more to be done, and we need folk to step up, take up your cross, and follow Jesus into the mission field, gathering in those who do not know the love of God. The early church was in great revival, with thousands getting saved, and the devil didn't like it. He had tried to stop the church with intimidation and persecution. But when he couldn't stop it from without, he tried to intimidate the people within the church by planting false beliefs that only a certain few could evangelize, pray, preach, lead, worship, visit others, work with children or the elderly, and the list goes on. Well, let me tell you, it's not true. We are all called. God has given us gifts so that together we can achieve amazing things. Revitalizing God's church is a very real and important topic for many today, because statistics indicate that the majority of churches are stagnant or declining. So if that's true, and it seems as if it is, how do we ensure that God's church, our church, the church given to us to grow disciples, keeps reaching out to the community around us to make a difference? Our church motto is Christ inside and out. Are we living up to that statement, or are we just going through the motions? When was the last time you brought a new person into church, or stopped and spoke to someone about the love of God? There are many opportunities for us to speak to others about God's love. Perhaps it's in the workplace, or if you belong to a club, at the bus stop, the train station, doing our shopping. Because God places us in certain places at certain times for a reason. And we need to take advantage of the opportunities given to us by God in our everyday lives, seeing a need and responding to it, whether we feel we have the right credentials or not. Showing love and care to someone is something that we can all do. Perhaps you have an elderly neighbour, or you know someone who is struggling. Offer to be their friend, or spend time with them, speaking with them. Because none of us know the difference that we can make to someone who is having a bad day. In fact, I'll go a step further and ask you, do your neighbours or those you spend time with outside of church even know that you are a Christian? I have shared this with you before about when I was travelling to London on the train to begin a training course with the London City Mission, working with the elderly. Originally I was going to go with someone else, but at the last moment they could not come. Now you have to understand that I hate travelling on a train on my own, and especially if it's to somewhere that I do not know. And I guess that was obvious to a young person on the same train, because that person walked up to me in a pretty packed train and spoke to me. And she said, she did not know who I was or anything about me, but she introduced herself and said, "Hi, my name's Jenny. You look worried. Can I pray with you?" which she did, in front of everyone, and she probably will never know the difference that made to me that day. I wonder, would you or I be as bold as that? To step out in faith and do something so amazing. Her faith and trust in the Lord was so strong that she was willing to take a risk for the sake of the gospel, which just goes to prove that God is always with us. And because we are his disciples, he equips us to reach out in every circumstance. It's not always about being involved in the work that goes on here in St. Chad's, but it is always about the work that God calls us to do, and that is to be involved in kingdom work and growth wherever we may be. The more we reach out and show the love of God, the more people will begin to understand why we worship a living God. Make an effort to behave in a way that makes you stand out from others by not getting involved in gossip, ridiculing someone, or, dare I say, becoming a road hog. Do you know, I don't know what happens, but once people get behind the wheel of a car, they suddenly become a different person. Yes, and I'm sure as I look around, many of us could admit to that, I am sure. But, do you know, it's not our actions rather than our words that speak the loudest. Sorry, it's the wrong way round. It's not always our words, but our actions that speak the loudest. And I'm sure you've all heard the famous saying often attributed to Sir Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. This means that it's not just about what we say, but more importantly, it's about how we act and live our own lives that will convince others we believe in what we say. In our reading, we are told that the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Verse 13 and 14 describe two results of this demonstration of signs and wonders. First, the people of Jerusalem, the outsiders, stood in awe of the apostles and the church. And in verse 13 it says, none of the rest dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. But that's not all. Secondly, in the midst of all this fear, amazement and wonder, many were coming to faith in Jesus. Verse 14 says, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. This is not an isolated instance in the book of Acts. It's a pattern which happens at least 17 times where a miracle helps lead to conversions. Depending on our background, Christian or otherwise, we will all have different levels of comfort surrounding signs and wonders. Do we still believe they happen? And what about miracles? Do they still happen in today's society? Or have we become so blinded that we don't recognise a miracle when it happens? Let's have a look at this video. No, okay. What's happened? This guy's gone for an interview, and at the interview, they asked him, he was a doctor, and they asked him why he wanted a place in this prestigious university where they teach. And he said that about miracles, he said, the most miracle is this up here. We have been given this miracle that we can do so many amazing things. And it's, you know, God equips us. He equips doctors, he equips nurses. You know, we're not on our own because It's all about, are we ready to step out and do a miracle? Now, this guy, he was trying to get this place, and it was in the end, he did actually get a place at this place because of what he said about life is a miracle. Do you believe life is a miracle? I believe life is a miracle. If you look at, this has got nothing to do with that now, but if you look at a baby, when a baby is born, how can nobody believe that's a miracle? When you look at them, everything, it can't just happen by chance. So, you know, miracles do happen every day. And we've heard that Aaron, who has been really, really ill, has been, you know, saved by God, because God put the right people in the right places at the right time. Had he been driving his car, things would have been completely different. Had he been working from home, things would have been completely different. But he wasn't. He was gone to work that day in his office, and his boss knew exactly what to do. Isn't that a miracle? So the miracles performed by the apostles were demonstrations of the Lord's power and mercy, affirming Christ Jesus as Saviour and testifying that their message was true. We must not limit God to our own understanding. The Bible teaches us that miracles, signs and wonders will not pass away until the new creation, until we see Jesus face to face. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 10 to 12 tell us that God gives us spiritual gifts for us to use on earth in order to build up, serve and strengthen one another. They are for everyone, not certain people, but for all. And it's only when Jesus returns and we are made complete in the very presence of God that we will no longer need the spiritual gifts given to us. But until that time, we are to use them whenever and wherever to further God's kingdom. God is still God, and he is mighty in working miracles and wonders. Now, I don't know about you, but I seldom give much thought to my shadow. But whether we think about our shadows or not, we cannot separate ourselves from it. And it's the same with the influences we have in the lives of others. This influence can be negative or positive. People who passed within Peter's shadow were healed, not by Peter's shadow or magic garments. They were healed as a direct answer to the apostles' prayer in Acts 4:30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Unless something draws my attention to my shadow, I don't look at it, neither do I think about what it may touch. But whether I think about it or not, my shadow is still there. Just like our shadows, each of us has an unconscious influence that always attends our lives. When my grandchildren were little, they loved to play, chase their shadows, and of course, they could never catch it. They also loved to watch Peter Pan when he lost his shadow and tried to find it. Let's see if it works this time. Thank you, Neil.
Over there, Tink, and it's Dan. Is it there?
Must be here somewhere.
Let me ask you if you've ever thought about your shadows in your business life, at home, the place where you walk on the street, and your relationships. What kind of shadow are you and I casting on the lives of our children, grandchildren, and others around us? Are we casting a shadow of godly influence, a positive, loving shadow that has an impact on those around us, like a ripple caused by a stone thrown into the water that continues long after it has sank? Because the way we live and the things we do can have a lasting effect on those known to us. And my prayer is that all our shadows represent the shadow of the cross upon the world. No other event in history has had greater impact than the crucifixion of Jesus, which is a constant reminder of God's love and sacrifice for all humanity. The church needs to rediscover Peter's shadow, the influence, the true man and woman of God. This influence comes from the Spirit of God. We do not make it happen. Just as surely as some are called to pastor the church, we are all called to bless the people around us, the lost, hungry, hurting, and the distracted, contented, and comfortable. Just as Peter and the others walked in the light of the sun, casting healing shadows into the streets, we are called to walk in the warmth of Jesus, standing squarely in his light, that our every word, gesture and deed casts a soothing shadow of grace on those we meet each day. I often think, if Peter were here today, what message would he have for us? He wasn't perfect like us, but he knew and loved the Lord. Even when he got things wrong, his faith was stronger than he realised. So to finish, I would like us to consider five thoughts that describe Peter and his life. And the first one is, he left his old life behind. And secondly, when he denied Jesus three times, his ego and world were completely shattered. He was no longer confident in his own spirituality. But third, he asked for forgiveness when he committed the worst sin of his life. He was the one apostle who was willing to step out of the boat on a stormy sea, to walk on water, to reach Jesus, whom he loved. And lastly, he preached the gospel, knowing that he would eventually die because of it. How many of us can say that describes us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Peter and the blessing he was to so many. May we too be a blessing to others, as our shadows cast your spirit and influence on those whom we meet. As we pass their way, may your spirit within us show them Jesus in us, and therefore reflect the shadow of the cross and your redemptive power. Because in our own strength, Lord, we can do nothing. But in yours, we can do amazing things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.